Well, how about we open up our Bibles this morning? And last week we talked a little bit about how the Lord requires us to actually specify and ask what it is we need or what it is that we want. And yes, there's a scripture that talked about before you ask, He knows what you need. But we are instructed to ask. And, you know, it's curious. A blind man walks up to Jesus and Jesus asks, what do you want me to do for you? Well, Jesus, can't you tell? I'm blind. Isn't it obvious? And having been a minister where people have asked me to pray for them from time to time on different things, I see where I may see something that looks like an obvious need, and that's not what they're interested in. They want something else. So it's like that, you know. And of course, Jesus would also answer on occasion, according to your faith, be it done unto you. And so if one was not exercising faith in a particular area, you know, that would be a problem for receiving. But if they were in a given one that they're requesting, this is what I need, this is what I want, this is what I'm believing, the Lord can work with that. So we looked at that a little bit last week, and this week is just spent a number of days just waiting on the Lord. What are we going to talk about? What are we going to talk about? Lord, what do you want here? And this is related to receiving, different from what you ask, but related. I personally get a real kick out of someone having a need, believing God, having that need met, even in the miraculous category. Things where it's obvious God moved and helped. If it wasn't for God helping, wouldn't have happened. I think that is just the greatest success for me as a teacher of the Bible, as a pastor, is to take someone that maybe has needs and show them from the Word how to work some of these things, and then they pray, believe, and receive. And that's just one of the things that's just so valuable to me. You know, it's almost like I won the battle myself. It's almost better than I won the battle myself, you know, when somebody does. Often when I'm teaching, that's what it's about. I'm trying to help put the tools in the hands of the people who have needs or desires and help them to be successful. Because there's quite a lot of things that no person can do for another person. And there's situations that require God. You know, I can't do that for you. Only God can do that for you, you know. So love to see those successes. But let's go to Hebrews 11, 11. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 11. We're going to cover something so basic, but so fundamental and so important. Sometimes it's easy to overlook fundamental steps. Illustration that pops into mind is football. I guess it's football season. That's appropriate. I don't really watch football. Some of y'all probably do. But you see where a pass is in the air to a receiver, and he's in the wide open and ready to receive that pass, and somehow he fumbles it or falls or something like that. What happens? They assume they have it in their hands, and they turn and start looking downfield too soon. And they miss the fundamental of, got to catch the ball first, right? And to catch it is a great advance. And don't worry about the goal line till after you catch the football. So fundamentals sometimes are so important. This is a fundamental. Hebrews 11, 11, it says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. Let's stop for a second. Well, a little more. And she bore a child when she was past the age. She bore a child when she was past the age. Abram at the time, had a promise from God that he would bear a son of his own wife, and he would then become the father of many nations. Well, you have to start with one. And she and Abram were both well advanced in years, By the time this son was born, he was 100, and what was she, 99 or 90 or something like that. Anyway, a little bit past when you'd expect childbearing, right? So it's miraculous, of course, and it says here, by faith Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. So how did she receive the strength? By faith. By faith. By faith. Something she believed. And because of what she believed, and by the way, I point this out from time to time, some situations require husband and wife believing together. Some things cannot be accomplished with one believing and another one opposing, even if it's secretly opposing. So, you know, it's very important from time to time to be on the same page for a husband and wife and believing together, agreeing together. To finish the verse, it says, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She believed by faith what? Something he had promised. Could she have believed without the promise? People do, or say they do. Let me give you a little bit more. Let's go back to Genesis 21. Genesis 21 and verse 1. It says, and the Lord visited Sarah, that means brought her a miracle, and as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. What, from what we read in Hebrews, what did Sarah believe and count him faithful? She believed what he had spoken. And when that verse said the promise is, what did he speak? He spoke a promise to her. Now, when it says she found him faithful or judged him faithful, and by the way, well, I would never judge God. Oh, yes, you would. You do all the time. We do all the time. We consider his word and we decide. Is he good for it? Or something's going to happen and I just know it's not going to work. And you know, when we don't believe his word, we judge him unfaithful. Now, there's a thing that Pastor Sandy and I say often. We did again last night. I minister to her, with her, pray, say a few things every night as we're saying, saying good night. And I don't know, it came up in my spirit years ago now when we brought her home from hospitals. We always say this, God is good, compassionate, merciful, and kind. And he always keeps his word. We want that so ingrained in us that it's really difficult to go in my thoughts to a place where God would not keep his word, where God would not keep his promise. Now, people, when things drag on and you haven't seen the fulfillment, in our case, the fullness, we have a lot of miracle already happened in her, an awful lot. But not the fulfillment from the promise we believe we received. And you grow weary, and you start thinking after some point in time, I don't know, is this going to happen or not? Right? And that's why we remind ourselves, he always keeps his word. Now, I may back off. I may get weary. I may settle for less. But God always keeps His word. Scripture says it's impossible for God to lie. Amen. Amen. And if I should pass from this earth and she pass from this earth and we don't have the full fulfillment of everything, well, what was the problem? I don't know, but it wasn't Him. I can assure you that. Amen. Amen. So we see here the Lord did for Sarah as He had spoken. Verse 2. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Here's what I want you to see. The entirety, the whole basis, the whole foundation for what Sarah believed, for what Abraham believed, was what God had spoken. If God didn't speak it, it would be their own invention, their own desire, their own hope, their own imagination, their own something, but there would be no obligation for God to perform what someone wants if He had not first spoken it. Sometimes people talk about how difficult it is to walk by faith. Not if you know that you know that you know what He said and who He is. Amen. Now, there's not a person in here that's perfect in quality like God in terms of keeping their word, but there are people maybe in your life that you've had one or two or several perhaps, but somebody that you knew, if they said it, they'll do it. They keep their word. And God is that and so much more. And so, if God speaks a word to me, if God speaks a word to you, how do you judge Him? Is He faithful? If you judge, yes, He's faithful, then it is impossible for that word to not come to pass unless we let go of it, we settle for something less, we quit, we change our minds, whatever it is. But this impossibility, Sarah producing a son in old age, Abraham in old age, why could they believe it? Why is Abraham the father of faith and so on? Because they believed unswervingly and without change. If God promised it, it will come to pass. Again, unless God speaks it, there's no foundation for faith. Sometimes people will say blind faith. You're just going to go by blind faith? Absolutely not. There's no such thing. If it's blind, it's not faith. If it's faith, it's not blind. Faith is based on something. It has a foundation. It has a root. It has a footing. It has a place where it stands. And the place where faith stands is in God's word in terms of what has He spoken. So for today, my question to you is, did you hear from Him? Have you heard from Him? If you've heard from Him, you've heard from Him. And there are times when all of us might struggle a little bit and we may need to review. What did He say? Double check on ourselves. Lord, forgive me, but I need a little bit of a refresher. Now, if there's a lot of that, we've got to ask why doubt seems to have such sway. But everybody might from time to time review and look at things again. So again, could Sarah have received strength to conceive if God had not specifically spoken that to her? She could not. She could not. So again, faith is so hard. No, it's not. It's simply hearing what he says, becoming convinced of what he said and who he is. It's really just those two things. What he said, who he is. If you're questioning either one of those, that has to be worked out. But if you know what he said and you know who he is, this is the reason that in Hebrews, faith is called a rest. You get those two things sorted out and you're like, okay, pressure's not on me. I don't have to make this happen. I don't have to look for a way. God's got this. How do I know he's got it? Because he spoke to me. Then faith is easy. Faith is a rest. And you can believe and receive strength for the miraculous when you know those two things. Amen. Let's go to John chapter 4 and verse 46. John 4, 46. It says, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made water into wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he had heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Jesus is already identifying, hey, what people believe is the issue here. Verse 49, the nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. He's anxious about it, understandably so. Jesus is addressing people in the crowds around him concerning what's going on. And so he asks them to hurry. Verse 50, Jesus said to him, go your way. Your son lives. The man was asking Jesus, come to my house, because word was out that if Jesus laid hands on the sick, they recovered. If Jesus came on the scene, miracles would happen. I didn't check out the order of things, but you know, one woman, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And everywhere where Jesus would tell people, don't tell anybody about this, they would tell everybody about it, right? So there was reputation. There was a name out there, so to speak, where people understood. And it's based in the scriptures as well. So this man says, come to my house. Lay your hands. And so come to heal my son. Jesus says to him, go your way, your son lives. In other words, I'm not coming down to the house. I'm not laying hands on him. But it's cool. Go in peace. Your son will be fine. Now, I don't know about you. You know, have you ever been asked to pray for somebody and then you pray and it's not the way they wanted it? I can tell you this happened with me many times. Pastor, would you pray for me? You know, pray such and such and, you know, all this. And people, last week, you know, tell God what you want. People come telling me they want certain things, and I'm like, no. That's not scriptural. That's not right. I can't pray that. And I'll try to warn them before I pray, but you know, what about this? What about this one? Whatever. The worst one ever standing right there, a fella with his wife sitting in the back row over here comes up and tells me that God has given to him a new wife, meaning my daughter, that I was to pray that the will of God be done, that he would now have a new wife instead of, she's sitting back there with a kid in her lap. No, I'll pray for you, but not the way, not the way you're thinking. And last week we said, tell Jesus what you want. When you do that, you maybe should be prepared that Jesus is not going to answer the way you think. He may have something else in mind. He may have something better in mind. He may have thoughts that you need to strengthen yourself here and walk this out. You know, it's things are not just the way we want. I mean, I got a plan for Jesus, for my wife, that I'd be happy to tell him all about it and how he could do it, right? But I have found that I must walk by faith, trusting him. And by the way, walking by faith means, by definition, you won't have all the answers to the questions. That's by design. God will leave you without some answers to determine will you trust him anyway or not. Yeah, I just need to understand, God, so I can get through this. No, you need to trust so you can get through this. And I have questions, you know, like everybody does. How? How'd this happen? Why'd this happen? All those questions everybody have. And y'all remember what you used to say about that years ago? There's no fruit on that tree. The why question and the how question are the most dangerous questions you can ask sometimes. And they will just spin you round and round and round and round. And you think you need an answer and you think you need an answer and no. God wants us to trust him. So in verse 50, after Jesus says, go your way, your son lives, the man does not have his request fulfilled the way he hopes. Yet in Jesus' word is good news. Go on back home. Your son lives. So this man has a decision to make right here, right now. Do I believe him? Or do I argue it again? Do I believe him or do I argue it again? If he would have argued it again, I don't know for sure what would have happened, but I suspect it wouldn't have worked out. No, but you must come down. There were some times where Jesus had people insist on particulars. Sometimes he did those things, sometimes not. Let me say this while I'm here. Without humility, I'm not sure there's faith involved. Without a humbling of, Lord, if this is what you say, I'm not sure there's trust. I'm not sure there's faith. Through the many, many years, we've taught on faith here and so on. You know, I have seen quite a number of people think that by bulldozing forward, that's faith and they're going to receive what they desire. And sometimes you see a great lack of humility. Remember, Jesus said, I am meek and lowly of heart. And we were to take his yoke upon us, to be like him. And when God speaks an answer, or dare I say, you know, maybe you talk to a pastor or something like that, and the pastor gives an answer, and it's not the one you want. humility is called for. And even if that pastor is wrong, God will see the humble heart, the faith-filled heart, and God can get a hold of a pastor and say, you need to change what you said to them, or God can still work it out. Go your way, your son lives. Not what he wanted to hear. But it goes on and it says, so the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him and went his way. Just as simply, thank you, Lord, and go home. Does he know if his son is healed or not? No. But he believes the word from Jesus. Verse 51, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. And if we read on, we would see that he asks about when it happened, and he does the math, and it's when Jesus spoke is when the son turned. But there's the answer. Jesus' word came to pass. Why? Because the man believed. What did he believe? He believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. What if Jesus didn't speak to him? What if Jesus didn't say this? Well, he'd probably be right back. Please come to my house. Lay hands on him. Please come. Save my child. Another place, you know, Jairus' daughter. Same request, basically. Come to the house. And before they get there, the news arrives. Never mind. She's gone. And I'm paraphrasing, but what does Jesus say then? He says, do not be afraid, only believe. And so from then on, what does that father have? Only what Jesus spoke. Even when it seems like it's too late, the opportunity's passed, this can't be salvaged, nothing here. It's not. If the Lord speaks and says, don't fear, only believe. So, he had a word from the Lord. He had a word from the Lord. He believed what Jesus told him. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, please. Romans 10, 13. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's stop there for a second. Anybody in here believe that? Believe that scripture? Amen. I do. And we'll need to talk about this a little bit. I don't know how far ago at all with it today. I didn't really prepare notes to talk about it. But the scriptures is one of the ways, perhaps the predominant way, that God speaks to us. And when we see a particular scripture, it's an opportunity for the Spirit of the Lord to enforce, to highlight, to quicken that scripture to you as if it is He speaking to you directly. All of us have experienced that. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe you're saved, you've believed this word, haven't you? You may have heard it preached, as you are this very moment as well. But that's one of the ways, and perhaps the predominant way, that God will speak. And when we ask the question, has the Lord spoken to you? It's very likely that He will have, or He will, by the Scriptures. This is why it's really a great idea to be reading your Bible every day. It's an opportunity for God to speak. You mean reading through Leviticus, God can speak? Oh, you'd be surprised. You'd be amazed. Yeah. All of those names? Yeah. It's just a lot of people. You know, or maybe, Lord, you got a lot of people with a lot of strange names. But anyway, So, and this is a quote from Isaiah, and we'll read on here, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now, when it says call on him, how do you call on the Lord? What would you call that when you call on the Lord? We've got a simple word that we tend to use for that. How do you call on the Lord? Pray. Just a simple act of prayer. And when we witness to other people and we tell them about Jesus and we say, I'd like to introduce you to Jesus, we might say, would you like to pray? And we lead them into the calling on the name of the Lord. And that calling on the Lord, you can't do it for someone else. You can only you, I'm going all Smokey Bear here, only you can call on the name of the Lord for you. I understand there's intercession and praying for other people. But in the end, an individual must call on the name of the Lord themselves. And that can take so many different words, different ways that people could call on the name of the Lord and be saved, right? So again, 14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? So, you can't call until you believe. You can't call until you believe. Now, when we see this, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, we tend to think about eternal salvation, live forever in the presence of Jesus. We tend to call that heaven, though the Bible talks about a new earth, new heaven and new earth. And it seems to me that ultimately we end up kingdom of God upon a new earth. Is that heaven? I guess, you know, we'll learn, figure it out when the time comes. But anyway, we tend to think about eternal salvation, the Spirit being saved, when that word saved there, sozo in Greek, is a general purpose word that means delivered, healed in body, healed in mind. So you can call on the name of the Lord to be healed in body. You can be call on the name of the Lord to be healed in broken heart, disappointment, a thinking pattern that's not serving you well, depression, despair, all kinds of things. To be saved is to be set free, delivered in any and every area. So this works the same no matter what it is we need. Amen. You call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. But before you call, you have to believe. And reading on, how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? Before you can believe, you have to hear. Now, when we read our scriptures, we have an opportunity to hear. You can hear when you read. You know this is true also. You can read and not hear a thing. Sometimes we're frustrated with ourselves. You know, wait a minute, what did I just read? I don't even remember what I read. I didn't even hardly notice. My eyes went back and forth, but I was thinking about lunch. Right? But when it says here, sometimes reading the scripture, you could be reading along and also you just heard. And as sometimes we say, it hit me like a ton of bricks, or I saw it, I saw it, I saw it. Or if you're old enough, you think back to the Blues Brothers movie, you know, I see the light, I see the light. You see it, I see it, I see it. Do you see it? I see it. Hearing can happen when reading. And I'll say again, that's probably the predominant way that you'll hear from God. Is you'll be reading the scriptures, and you read it, even though you've read it many times before, and it goes, oh, wow. And from time to time, I'll be reading something, and it hits me in such a way that I got to set it down and walk around the house a while. Whoo! Anybody else do that? That ever happened to you? Yeah. It's just like, I can't read another thing. I just got to, wow. Wow. That means I just heard. I just heard. So, you can't believe until you hear. Next it says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Again, taking nothing away from reading the scriptures and hearing the Spirit of God. But have you noticed a difference? I certainly have. I can read and I can read and I can read, and then I go to church and hear a preacher, and the preacher preaches that scripture, and something that I didn't see comes illuminated. There it is. I hear it. I see it. How come I never saw that before? And I think, what a preacher. No, it's the anointing upon him, and it's the Spirit of God working in you. It tells us in another place that God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. Having been a preacher for many, many years, sometimes I think I'm pretty foolish. I look like a fool. I say dumb things. I just, you know, I don't look so great. I am what I am, and that's all that I am, and I'm nobody from nowhere, and all of that. But somehow God takes it and helps people. And that still just blows my mind. So I just showed some diligence to God. What do you want? Put something here. Show up. And say, here I am, and I'll give you what I got, and hope to help somebody. But for whatever reason, God uses people who declare his word, who speak his word. Some of them that you might call ministers, sometimes it's everyday people. Not that ministers aren't everyday people, but he has chosen preaching to be a delivery vehicle for hearing what did God say to you. And it's very interesting to me. Sometimes people will come up after service and tell me something that they heard God say to them, and then someone else, and you go, were they in the same message? Because these are completely different things. But it was this need was answered here, and this need was answered over here, and this person heard that, and all of them heard the Holy Ghost in the preaching of the Word, answering their questions and answering their needs. There is a vital role for preaching in God's kingdom, in the body of Christ. And I will say this as well. Those that are not part of any church really miss an opportunity. It seems evident if you're a church attender, it seems evident, you can see it. Staying home versus being here in person, there's a difference. Even though you may watch as we are streaming now, you know, for those that are far away or can't be here today or whatever reason, you know, can they get something? Yes, they can. But there's a difference. And some of you have experienced this and have said so as well. There's a difference from the back to the front. That's unusual to me. That's weird to me. But there are times when just me walking back and forth and getting close to somebody, they say they feel it, they feel it, they feel it. It's not me. It's the anointing of God on his word. And it's something that can grow strong enough that it can be felt in the physical body. Amen. Preaching. How shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? It takes a little bit of resources and finances to send preachers. We might say, well, Pastor Dan, you're not sent anywhere. Yes, I am, right here. And it takes our support keeping this all going. So when we're giving in our offerings, what are we doing? We're sending the preacher. And I don't necessarily want to tell everybody what everything costs, because it would scare you. But God is able to supply our needs as a church. I mentioned last week or the week before, we got this insurance thing solved, right? And have our insurance coverage. And what insurance coverage costs for a church our size would shock you. So maybe I'll just do you the favor of not shocking you with how much that costs. But from time to time, you know, I've had somebody, well, then I'm just going to go start a church myself. Go ahead. You'll find out. What does it take to maintain a church? A preacher sent. Anyway, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. I hope you're hearing glad tidings this morning. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, this is the verse we're familiar with, but I thought I'd give you all the context leading up to it, help you grasp the verse again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, it's unusual to say hearing like that twice, but in the original language, what it's trying to get across is present tense, not past, and ongoing. It's a continuous pursuit. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, you can't believe until you've heard the report. Until you've heard from the Lord, what did He say to you? You can't believe. Sarah received strength by faith to conceive because she heard the Lord say she would bear a son. She couldn't believe that, because that'd really be nice. She had to hear that report. It begs the question for us. If you're believing for something, and people will talk that way, we're believing, all our bills are paid, all our needs are met, we're believing for this, we're believing for a newer car, whatever it might be, wherever your need is, wherever you're at, you have to ask yourself, what did the Lord say about that? Did He speak to me about that? Well, yeah, there's this Bible verse that Pastor Dan talks about. It has to be this Bible verse that the Lord spoke to you, not told me about. A good example of that for Sandy and I would be about 1982, 83. That's a while ago. We were newly married. One child, I believe another one on the way. And we were out of money. We were broke. Broke. I was working two jobs, just trying to make everything work out, feed our little family, you know. I think Jessica was on the way, a second child, on the way there. And I grew up in church. Sandy didn't really, but she got born again by becoming part of our family and sharing that gospel with her. And we were married in 80, so by about 83, she had an inheritance. We already consumed that by then. I mean, it was bad. So we turned to the Lord with our need. Lord, we need some help. We need some help. We found that help when we came across Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Where it says, seek first the kingdom of God. After Jesus had talked about food, shelter, and clothing. And we were down to those basics. Can we keep a roof over our head? Will we have food to eat? Clothing lasts a while. You wear old junk stuff quite a while, right? But we're in need of those basic things. And we found that verse. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things which he had talked about, food, shelter, clothing. These things, do not worry what you shall eat. Do not worry what you shall wear. But there was an instruction, kingdom first. Seek first. Above all, make it the priority. Make it the first thing, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Well, when we read that and reread that and reread that, we discerned it was God speaking to us in our particular need. And she and I agreed, okay, that's it. Kingdom first. Kingdom first. The second job I had, I worked on Sundays. Well, now I need to be in church if it's going to be kingdom first. And I quit that job. Well, how are we going to pay the bills? At the time, we were part of a construction company, and I was losing money in the construction company all week and making some money on the weekend. But on Sunday, we needed to be in church. So I quit the job that paid some money and stuck with the one that was losing money. But we made kingdom first. Where I grew up in our church, you know, it was regular practice. Everybody tithed. Well, we weren't at that time because we need food. But we decided, no, even if we don't eat, whatever we do bring in, we're going to put the kingdom first. And we started tithing on that day and have never questioned that and have never looked back. And so to this day, that was God's word to me. And we have done our best to put kingdom first. Kingdom first. So, I mean, you do what you think you need to do, but for us, that was things like we're going to be in church pretty much no matter what. And if somebody in the family has a birthday party at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, we'll be there after church. I'm not telling you how you need to approach that, but I can tell you that we kind of got a few frowns from a few people here and there because we took it seriously and did our best to do it diligently, and it was kingdom, and it always has been kingdom first. To where eventually discern the call of God upon our lives, to go to Bible school and so on, and you know, that meant a bunch of sacrifice again. And so anyway, that was God speaking to us. And he would add unto us food, shelter, clothing, those basics, right? And I learned there's other scriptures. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For with the same measure that you use, men will give into your bosom as well. So I figured out, if I give more, my measure is more. I can receive more. And fast forward here, what, 3 decades or more, and I don't worry about food, shelter, clothing no more. Those things have been added to me, and more has been added to me, and more has been added to me, and I can see over the decades where the scriptures talk about God bringing even wealth into the hands of his people. You walk with him long enough, you'll experience that wealth as well. And that's where I guess I'd put myself today. We're very abundantly provided for at this point in time. So from reading the word, Matthew 6:33, it's God speaking to me. I believed his word. And you don't just say, well, I believe it. You do it. You do what you believe. If you're not doing it, you don't really believe it. Amen. That got everybody excited, didn't it? So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, faith is perishable. Faith doesn't stay the same forever. You hear the word once, I'll never need to hear it again. Doesn't work like that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And who of us has not experienced this where you come to a church service and you hear something and you go, of course, I know that. That's good. I need to get back. I need to get back to that. I need to get back on track on that. How many of us haven't been stirred over and over again? It seems to slip and you need to get back again. Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And the Lord knows that. He designed it that way. Why? So we would have an ongoing walk with Him. Day by day. A living relationship. Amen. Hebrews 1:1, please. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. We'll stop there. We went to this scripture, back to one please, so that you would see this. God speaks in various ways. He did before, He still does. God speaks in various ways. And so why does He do that? God cannot be contained in our definition, our box. He's so much more than that. And maybe you could say it this way, just to keep us on our toes, He'll change up how He speaks to us. Or, again, in that living day-to-day relationship, if you walk with Him day by day, you're ready for various ways. But if it becomes predictable how we are, and we're not there day by day, we can start missing things. Or God speaks to me this way and only this way, you lock Him in that box, you're going to start missing some things. Because He'll say, no, I'm more than that. I can show you lots of different ways. And so we need to, it's not really our subject today, but we need to be prepared and grow and trained, aware of various ways God may speak to us. We've already said, of course, that by reading the Scriptures, sometimes particular verses will jump out at you, and that's God speaking to you. That is one of the ways. Dreams, visions, words of prophecy, impressions, something somebody else says. Sometimes somebody's just talking and they don't know and they're just talking with you and they say something and you hear the voice of God speaking to you. Just something about it is just like, and they may not even know what they were saying. Been a while since I told this, so maybe I will. Probably about 2014, I think it was. We were in Ouray, Colorado. We were there for a climb, and I know it was 2014 because Pastor Webb was with us, and he had heard me talk about climbing 14ers in Colorado, and the Spirit of God spoke up to him and said something about, you talk about the year 2014 and you talk about 14ers, maybe you need to go climb a 14er in 2014. So Pastor Webb came with us, and several of us went on a climb. We went and did Mount Sneffels, which was a wonderful climb. That was a good one, wasn't it? Very good climb. But sitting in a restaurant after the climb, just talking about our church a little bit, and he's my pastor, counselor, wisdom, you know, all that kind of stuff to me. He said to me, he says, you got to do something about your building. You know, can you plant some shrubs around or something? You got to do something about your, paint it. And of course, being a builder, I knew, well, the metal's kind of rusted off at the bottom. That it's not worth painting. And while we're paved right up to the building, so we can't put any plants there without taking away parking lot. And, you know, I knew all the reasons why. No, but when he said that, you got to do something about your building, that stuck with me. Amen. And I heard God speak. When my pastor said, you got to do something about your building, I heard God. And I knew, okay, we need to start. I need to believe God. When we moved into the building in 07, it took all the money we could gather together to pay the down payment and get here. And then for years, the little bit, you know, pay the gas bill to heat a building like this and cool a building like this and so on. That was not spare and extra. But we decided, okay, we're going to start. And my theory was, just like going to a restaurant, it might be great food, but if you go into the bathroom and, ooh, there's a real good chance you're not coming back to that restaurant, no matter how good the food is. So I said, we're starting with the restrooms. The women's room, for sure. Because we all know they're the bosses. So. But anyway, so we started in those restrooms back there. And we believed God. We started. Couldn't believe how much stuff costs. But we believed God to buy the good stuff, you know. And, $50,000 went into those restrooms back there. You would think, that's not possible. How could that be possible? We all start adding up the automatic faucets, the granite countertop, all the stuff we put in there. Why? Because I believe God would have us to do it first rate. Like he's able to provide. Instead of, you know, the real cheap chintzy stuff and so on that we'll have to replace in 4 years. So we got the good stuff. And the money came and we did that. And so through these years, we've been building out this building. And I ask myself that question, did God speak to me to build out this building? And it's been reinforced since then. Yes, he did. And when he tells you something, faith comes with the instruction. And you can believe it. And if you'll take action and start doing it. I don't think we ever had the money laid up in advance on anything. We start work and the money comes. But we don't do so without the Lord speaking. What did the Lord say to you? Brother Hagin, when we were in Bible school, he would talk about, of course, he had a healing ministry that he laid hands on so many people, so many miracles, so many things through many, many, many years. He would talk about if he ever experienced symptoms of some sickness in his own body, he wouldn't pray until he had gone back into the scriptures, reviewed them, heard them, built his faith again, and then he would pray. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not by having heard. And so, Brother Hagin, you know, incurable heart disease and paralyzed and all that when he was a kid, and God healing him of all those things, miraculous heart deformity, all that. But, you know, if he needed to review the scripture before he prayed, so do I. So do I. So before you launch out, what has God said? Maybe here I might also remind everybody, when Pastor Sandy came out of that hotel bathroom where we were in Fort Worth, Texas, and said, I heard something, she's holding her head, heard something pop, and she was in excruciating pain. Took us a while to figure out, because she was exhibiting no symptoms other than the pain. I'm immediately thinking stroke or something like that, you know, looking for droop in the face and whatever the typical signs are and all that. Saw none of that. And if she laid down, she had some subsidence of pain and was seemed to be okay and thought maybe she could shake it off, but eventually it was like, no, we better go. And we went to the emergency room. She and I walked into a hospital by our hotel, answered the questions, went to the first exam room. She sat down, started the blood pressure and so on, and Sandy motioned to me. I gave her vessels. She spit up a few berries she had eaten an hour earlier. And then I saw her eyes roll back in her head and her arms come up like this into the fetal position, and I knew immediately, it's a brain event. It's her brain. It is a stroke. It is a brain event. It got real crazy in there real quick, to another room, tearing clothes off and doing whatever, kick me out of the room, rush her for a scan, and they come out of that scan room and all the staff, and they would see me and turn the other way quick. Nobody came to talk to me, including the doctor himself. Even the doctor came out of there and wouldn't look me in the eye. And so I realized she's either gone or awful close to it, and they don't want to tell me. And knowing some of this about faith to believe for miracles for her to be okay, I needed to know what God says about it. This particular time, this particular occasion, not just general purpose, by his stripes, we are healed. I had a great challenge, therefore I needed a great word. And maybe that's something I've never said before. I'm realizing as I stand here, you need a word as great as your challenge. You need a word as strong as the challenge you're facing. If it's something routine, someone shared with me last couple of weeks about sort of a routine need that they had, and praying, God, should I do this or not? And it was just a routine sort of thing, although a step forward for this individual. And the individual told me God never did answer. Well, it's because it was a routine thing. And if he has supplied all your needs, just in a general sense, you need it, get it, right? But in connection to the size of your need needs to be the size of your word from God. And so knowing that, the first thing I prayed when I sensed death has fixated upon her and has grabbed her, I did find out she passed and they revived her. And knowing that, the first thing I prayed was, Lord, what do you say about this? I won't go into lengthy on this, but you know, sometimes the Lord may say, has said in certain situations, it'd be better to let them go. That happens from time to time. There are sometimes where people are in the right place where the right thing to do would be to let them go. Let them go be with the presence of the Lord. Because if someone is severely injured, it could be a very difficult and lengthy recovery. And an individual may just not be very well prepared for a lengthy fight. And if that's the case, you know, so if the Lord would have said to me, she's coming home with me, man, that'd have been hard to take. But I asked him so I would know. And I knew that could have been the answer. But just to fill in the story a little bit, when I said, what do you say about this, Lord? See, I need his word for faith. I can't be in faith without a word from him. When I said, what do you say about this, Lord? He answered me and he said, what have I already said? Well, that's an invitation for me to respond what I know he said previously. I said, Lord, you already said, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation, and this wouldn't be long life and it wouldn't be satisfying. You already said that you heal all of our diseases. You said, by your stripes, we are healed. I know it's your will for Sandy to be healed, and maybe two or three other scriptures as well. And I listed those out, said those. And he said to me, well, I'm not changing what I said. Are you? That was an invitation to take him at his word as it is written in the scriptures. That is not only what's written, that's what he's speaking to me right now. He's quickening to me right now. That's inviting me to believe that word for that time. And I responded to the Lord and said, no, Lord, I'm not going to change what you said. And I realized now I need to say those things again, not because he said them, but as a release of faith from my own heart. You said, with long life, will you satisfy us, me, her, and show us your salvation, your deliverance. Show me your deliverance. Satisfy us. This is not long life. She was 59. That's not long life. And even at the present time, wonderful things have happened. Amazing things have happened. But we're not yet satisfied. So this is still working. But what I'm saying is I had a word from the Lord to stand on in faith. And when I did, if I'll stick with it, so does the Lord. Amen. So I had that word of the Lord. And for the next several months, but especially the two that we had to stay in Texas while she was recovering, getting well enough to be transported back here to Illinois, we had our fusses and fights with the doctors and the hospital and some of the nurses and all of that. And they would tell me the medical facts. Okay, yeah. And they would imply what that means. And I'd have to tell them, well, I believe something different than that. I believe she'll fully recover. And they would look at you like, are you nuts? And they thought there was something wrong with me, that I didn't understand the gravity of this thing. And they sent counselors and they sent chaplains. And a couple of those I had to open the scriptures to, the chaplains, and show them what I was talking about. But anyway... here we are. Yeah, very much alive and being restored. 4.5 years, didn't speak a word. Now there's too many words. Yeah, and we're still making progress on things. But I review those words that he said to me, and we stay with him, and I say them again and again and again. Where are we at? Let's go another scripture here quickly. I think we're okay. 1 Kings 19:9. What are we talking about today? We're talking about this. What has the Lord said to you? What has he said to you? You can't walk in faith unless you hear from him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Sarah received strength to conceive by faith because the Lord performed what he had said. Earlier I said no such thing as blind faith. If you know what he said, you're not blind. It's not blind. It's based on something very specific. 1 Kings 19:9, talking about Elijah, and there he went into a cave, spent the night in that place. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then he said, go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle. What is that? That is what you do when you understand I'm in the holy presence of God and I'm unworthy. Now, Christ has made us worthy. It's a different situation a little bit today. But it wasn't the wind. It wasn't the breaking rocks. It wasn't the fire. It wasn't the earthquake. It's the still, small voice. That's something on the inside that just, ooh, there he is. There he is. And he begins to respond that way. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Repeating the same thing again. I went through this just to point out that we often think if God's going to speak to us, it's going to be something spectacular, something loud, something powerful, something earth-shaking. But no, those things passed, but it was the still, small voice. And again, it's not our subject today, but we could teach this, but the way that God's going to speak to us most of the time through the Scriptures, second to that, is an inward something. It's hard to describe what it is sometimes. It's just you get a sense of what God is saying or desiring. You get a kind of an idea. It's just there's something. Some people say, "I just got an itch on the inside," or just some. It keeps reoccurring that I think this, or I notice this, or what, you know. Still small voice. That is often how God speaks. And notice here, when Elijah responded to the little something, then God clearly spoke, I suppose even out loud in Elijah's case here. But Elijah recognized God in this still, small voice. We call that inward witness. If it gets a little stronger, it's not our subject today, but inward voice, where you hear the voice of God on the inside. And if God wants to, yeah, He can send an angel that you could literally see with your eyes. If God wants to, He can minister to you in a dream. While I'm here, I'll say this. I dream the craziest, stupidest stuff, seems like every night. And so if I was ever looking to dreams for guidance, I don't know. It's just, be very careful about reading things into dreams. I really like what Pastor Nancy Dufresne says about dreams. When a dream with a message is from God, you'll wake up knowing it definitely was Him, and you know exactly what He said. If it's less than that, I wouldn't give it a whole lot of attention. If God wants you to know something in a dream, you're going to know it. And you're going to know it was Him. In my lifetime, this probably happened 3 times, maybe. Other people, it may be more than that. But I'm always very suspicious of somebody. Well, I had a dream last night, and this was that, and this means that, and that means this, and this color means that. And I'm just sometimes like, oh, does it now? And usually, watch a person like that long enough, you'll find out a very unstable person. It's bouncing all over the place and trying this and trying that, and it don't work out. So dreams, visions, same thing. You can say the same thing about visions. There's different categories of visions. I have seen visions 3 or 4 or 5 times in my life. One of the gifts of the Spirit is called discerning of spirits. That doesn't mean you just, I think there's a spirit here. No, it means you see them. Sometimes God will allow people to see into the spirit realm. And so I have seen angels. on some occasions. So visions, vision of angels, or for that matter, spirits. So it could be demonic spirits as well. Pastor Sandy used to have that happen once in a while in ministering to people. Y'all remember that guy standing right here? She took a swing at him, and all of us thought we were going to punch. She was punching him. Whack. Yeah, I mean, she looked up at him and went, boom. Do you remember that, Sandy? I'm surprised what she does remember sometimes. She saw a spirit sitting on his shoulder with an arm around his head, hanging onto his head. And she saw it and commanded it to leave him. You So visions, yes, I'm not saying they don't happen. We be careful with those. And we look for confirmation on those, you know, and so on. So, still small voice, dreams, visions, definitely reading the scriptures, inward knowing, it can grow strong. You can hear the voice of God in someone else, the words that they say. Definitely in the preaching of the word. Yes. So there's various ways that God will speak to you. But the bottom line is this. For you to operate in genuine faith, you got to know he spoke. And you got to know what he said. And when you have that, you have what you need. Amen. You have what you need. One scripture, and we'll close with this. John chapter 2 and verse 1. Introduces a whole other element, but I'll mention it, and we'll see. Maybe next week. John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me?" Now, I was recently taught on this a little bit. When we read it that way, it sounds like an insult. You know, like some guys, well, woman, like that, talking to their wife. No, Jesus is not that way. In their day, that there was a term of respect. It says, "What does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." In other words, he's taking direction from God, not from mama. And his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And that's the key. If Jesus speaks something, she knew. If God speaks something, she knew who Jesus was, who Jesus is. Whatever he says, do that thing. And so, after we know what Jesus says, what the Lord says, what does God say to us, do it. Do it. Act on that. Release your faith. Claim it. Take hold of it. Be like the bulldog. Don't let go. Don't let go. Don't let go. But it's been a long time. Yeah, I know about long time. Don't let go. Don't let go. God is good, compassionate, merciful, and kind, and he always keeps his word. There's been times where that one understanding is what keeps me going. If I don't relent, like Jacob, who wouldn't let go of the angel of the Lord, "I won't let go until you bless me." Don't let go. He always keeps his word. As long as there is breath in me, I will say he always keeps his word. So concerning Sandy, he always keeps his word. And his word to us, I guess I haven't told that in a while, but the scripture, Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 17, is the one that he gave us and quickened to us. And it came by text from my pastor. When he texts that to us, I go, "Oh, that's it. That's God's word. That's God's answer." And Jeremiah 30, 17 says, "For I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord." And we noted after the fact that it says wounds. And when the Pastor Webb sent that scripture to me, we didn't know it was a hemorrhage, a brain bleed. That's a wound. That word was specifically right on when it came. And it's our word. And for that word to come to pass, for I will restore health. I don't know what that means to you, but to me it means what she could do before, she can do again. Well, she used to be able to walk. To be restored, she'd walk again. Have full use of both arms and hands. And concerning her memory, she'll remember who her husband is. She'll remember her home. Which house is hers? I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord. The Lord is good, compassionate, merciful, kind. He always keeps his word. Always. 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 What has God said to you?